Radio Pulpit 657 AM, your daily companion.
Umthandazo welungisa.
That was such a lovely song by Your Radio Pulpit.
Yakha umsantsi Afrika nezizwe zonke ngomthandazo.
Song Maverick City featured on that one, and absolutely love that song. Bringing us out of Word Fest with Pastor Bongani Moyo. And a great way to start off the year, I must say. I don't think I would have wanted to start my year any differently. Kind of really shapes my mind and readies me for the year ahead. So grateful for such powerful men of God that always have a heart to bring us back to God's Word. And it's something Pastor Moyo has been doing effortlessly well, I must say. Anyhow, got a beautiful conversation and a word from one of my favorites. And I think it's so relevant for the start of a year. Today, Priscilla Shire, now if you know the movie War Room, you will know her as the warrior woman, as the woman who, against all odds, stood for a marriage and came before God to say, "Lord, if anything and if my situation needs to change as I believe, I am going to trust you for that transformation." And I think a lot of us draw strength from the powerhouse that she is, not only on that particular movie, but that she is, you know, in her ministry work. And the sense that she speaks, the word of God indeed is her biggest tool, I must say, to ensure that we think and live soberly in this gospel. And so today I've got something by her entitled "Act Like You've Already Won." As this year begins, I want you to act like you've already won.
Say you're setting yourself up for disappointment, that you're being delusional. But what if I told you that's exactly what you need to do? Picture this with me. 3 years ago, I stood in front of my bathroom mirror, tears streaming down my face, holding a foreclosure notice in my trembling hands. Everything I'd worked for was crumbling. My business was failing. My savings were depleted, and my critics were having a field day. But in that moment, something extraordinary happened. You heard me right? I laughed. Not because I'd lost my mind, but because in that precise moment, I understood something profound. I understood what champions have known for centuries. Victory doesn't start when you cross the finish line. It starts the moment you decide you've already won. How many of you in this room right now are waiting to feel victorious? Waiting for that promotion, that breakthrough, that relationship, that healing before you allow yourself to walk in victory? You're living life in reverse. Let me tell you what happened in that bathroom. I put down that foreclosure notice, wiped my tears, and started walking differently. I spoke differently. I carried myself differently. Not because my circumstances had changed, they hadn't, but because I made a decision to position myself in victory before the victory was visible. Think about David facing Goliath. Now hold that thought for a moment. What do you think was going through David's mind when he picked up those 5 smooth stones? Was he hoping to win, or did he already know he had won? When he declared to that 9-foot giant, "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands," he wasn't making a wishful statement. He was making a victory declaration from a battle that was already settled in his spirit. Some of you are fighting battles right now. Maybe it's a health diagnosis that's trying to steal your peace. Perhaps it's a financial situation that's threatening to drown you. Or maybe it's a relationship that seems beyond repair. But I need you to understand something. Your position doesn't determine your condition. Let me say that it determines your condition. Your position determines your perspective. And your perspective will ultimately determine your outcome. When you study the lives of history's greatest achievers, you'll notice a common thread. They didn't wait for victory to act victorious. They positioned themselves in victory long before the evidence showed up. Martin Luther King Jr. spoke of dreams fulfilled while standing in the midst of nightmarish racism. Nelson Mandela carried himself like a free man, even within the confines of a prison cell. But here's where most people get it wrong. Acting like you've already won is about fake it till you make it. This isn't about plastering on a superficial smile while your world is falling apart. This is about understanding a deeper truth. That victory is your birthright, your natural state, your divine position. I remember counseling a young woman who was battling severe anxiety. She'd come to me after trying everything. Medication, therapy, self-help books. Nothing seemed to work. I asked her one simple question. What would you be doing right now if anxiety had no hold over you? Her answer changed everything. She said she'd be traveling, teaching, impacting lives. So I told her, then start doing exactly that. She looked at me like I had lost my mind. But I'm not healed yet, she protested. That's when I shared with her the principle that transformed my own life. Healing often follows action, not the other way around. 2 months later, she sent me a video of herself teaching a workshop in Bali. The anxiety didn't magically disappear, but it lost its power when she stopped waiting for perfect conditions and started acting from a position of victory. This isn't just positive thinking. This is strategic positioning. When you act like you've already won, you activate something in your spirit, something in your mind, something in the very fabric of your being that begins to align with that victory. Think about a master chess player. They don't just react to their opponent's moves. They position themselves for victory from the very first move. They see the end from the beginning. They play from a position of victory before the victory is manifest on the board. Some of you are sitting here right now and you're thinking, but you don't understand my situation. You don't know what I'm going through. You're right. I don't. But I know this. Your situation is not your destination. Your current circumstances are not your final chapter. Remember that foreclosure notice I told you about. 6 months after that bathroom moment, not only had I saved my house, but I had started 3 new successful ventures. Not because I'm special, but because I refuse to let my circumstances dictate my position. When you act like you've already won, you begin to make decisions from a place of victory rather than a place of desperation. You begin to carry yourself with the dignity of a champion rather than the despair of a victim. You begin to speak the language of victory rather than the dialect of defeat. But let me warn you, when you start walking in this truth, not everyone will understand. Some people will call you delusional. Others will say you're in denial. Still others will try to bring you back to reality. But here's what they don't understand. You're not denying reality. You're creating a new one. The question isn't whether you'll face opposition. You will. The question is whether you'll face it from a position of victory or a position of defeat. Will you face it as someone hoping to win or as someone who's already won? I want you to do something right now. I want you to close your eyes and see yourself as the victor you already are. What does that version of you look like? How does that version of you walk? How does that version of you talk? What decisions does that version of you make? Now, here's where it gets practical. Starting today, you're going to begin living from that vision. You're going to start making decisions as if you've already received what you're believing for. You're going to start carrying yourself as if the victory is already yours. Because here's the truth. The moment you position yourself in victory, something shifts in the spiritual atmosphere. Doors that were closed begin to open. Resources that were hidden begin to surface. People who were meant to be in your life begin to appear. And just fundamental truth, victory isn't a destination. It's a position. And that position is available to you right now, regardless of what your circumstances are screaming. So let me ask you again. What would you do differently if you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that you had already won? How would you carry yourself? What bold moves would you make? What risks would you take? Because that's exactly what we're going to explore next. How to practically position yourself in that victory and maintain that position, even when everything around you seems to suggest otherwise. And that's exactly where the power lies, in the battlefield of your mind. Because if you're going to act like you've already won, you need to understand that victory isn't just a physical position. It's first and foremost a mental one. Let me share something powerful with you. In the 1954 Olympics, Roger Bannister did something that doctors and scientists said was physically impossible. He ran a mile in under 4 minutes. But here's what's fascinating. Within just 1 year of him breaking this impossible barrier, 37 other runners did the same thing. Within 2 years, 300 people accomplished this feat. What changed? The human body didn't suddenly evolve in 2 years. What changed was the mental barrier. Once people saw it was possible, their minds accepted a new reality. This is what I call the championship mindset. Your mind is like a thermostat. It sets the temperature for your life. Right now, many of you have your internal thermostat set to survivals when it should be set to victory. You're thinking thoughts of maybe, hopefully, someday, when you should be thinking already, not done. Think about an eagle. An eagle doesn't wake up in the morning hoping it can fly. It doesn't attend motivation seminars about the possibility of soaring. It doesn't read self-help books about overcoming the fear of heights. The eagle simply flies because that's its natural state of being. That's its position. But some of you are eagles living with a chicken mentality. You're scratching in the dirt. When you were born to soar in the heavens, your circumstances have convinced you that mediocrity is your portion, that struggle is your story, that getting by is your destiny. Let me tell you about Marcus, a young man I mentored. He came to me with a dream of starting his own technology company, but his mind was filled with every reason why it wouldn't work. I don't have enough capital, he'd say. The market is too competitive. I didn't go to the right schools. His words were creating his reality. So I challenged him to do something radical. For 30 days, I told him to write down every thought that came into his mind about his business. Then we went through that list together. Would you believe that 80 of his thoughts were centered around failure, lack, and limitation? His mental positioning was setting him up for defeat before he even began. We started the work of rewiring his thinking, not with empty positivity, but with strategic truth. Instead of I don't have enough capital, we positioned his mind to think I have access to all the resources I need. Instead of the market is too competitive, we repositioned to there's room for excellence in every market. Within 6 months, Marcus had not only launched his company, but had secured 2 major contracts. The external circumstances hadn't changed dramatically. What changed was his mental positioning. This is what the scripture means when it talks about renewing your mind. It's not just about positive thinking. It's about position thinking. It's about aligning your thoughts with your true position of victory. Let me break this down practically. Your brain processes about 60,000 thoughts per day. That's 60,000 opportunities to either position yourself for victory or position yourself for defeat. Every thought is like a brick. You're either building a castle or a prison. Some of you need to do a thought audit right now. What messages are you rehearsing in your mind? What story are you telling yourself about your capabilities, your worth, your future? Because here's the truth. You cannot outperform your self-image. You will never rise higher than your thinking. This isn't just spiritual truth. This is scientific reality. Neuroscience has proven that our thoughts create neural pathways in our brain. The more you think a thought, the stronger that pathway becomes. It's like walking through a field of tall grass. The more you walk the same path, the more defined that path becomes. So when you're constantly thinking thoughts of defeat, lack, and limitation, you're creating superhighways of negativity in your brain. But here's the good news. You can create new pathways. You can lay down new tracks of victory, abundance, and possibility. This is why I want you to start speaking victory over your life before you see it. Your words are creating your reality. When you declare, I am blessed in the face of financial challenges, you're not denying your current reality. You're creating a new one. When you proclaim, I am healthy while battling illness, you're not being delusional. You're positioning yourself for healing. But let me be clear, this isn't about ignoring problems or pretending challenges don't exist. This is about choosing which reality. You're going to give more weight to your temporary circumstances or your eternal position. I remember when I was building my first business, every morning I would walk through my empty office building, speaking to invisible employees, conducting meetings with clients who weren't there yet, celebrating victories that hadn't manifested. People thought I had lost my mind. But I understood something. I was creating neural pathways of success. I was programming my mind for victory. Your mind will always try to pull you back to what's familiar. If you've been living in defeat, defeat becomes comfortable. If you've been surviving instead of thriving, survival mode becomes your default setting. This is why mental positioning requires intentionality. You need to actively interrupt negative thought patterns. When doubt creeps in, counter it with truth. When fear whispers, you can't answer back with, I already have. When your circumstances scream impossible, respond with, watch me. This is what David understood when he faced Goliath. His brother saw a giant and thought, he's too big to kill. David saw the same giant and thought, he's too big to miss. Same giant, different mental positioning. But here's where many people miss it. Mental positioning isn't just about what you think. It's about what you focus on. Whatever you focus on expands. If you focus on your problems will grow bigger in your mind. If you focus on your position of victory, that victory will become more real to you than any temporary setback. I want you to start practicing what I call victory visualization. Before you go into that job interview, see yourself already in the position. Before you start that business, see yourself serving your customers. Before you begin that weight loss journey, see yourself at your goal weight. This isn't magic. This is strategic mental positioning. When you consistently hold the image of victory in your mind, your actions begin to align with that image. Your decisions begin to flow from that position. Your behavior begins to match your mental picture. Think about an actor preparing for a role. They don't just memorize lines. They immerse themselves in the character. They begin to walk like the character, talk like the character, think like the character. Before long, they're not acting anymore. They're being... That's what I'm calling you to do, to stop acting like a victor and start being a victor, to stop hoping for victory and start living from victory, to stop waiting for your circumstances to change and start changing your mental positioning. Because here's what you need to understand. Your mind will always try to create consistency between your thoughts and your reality. If you think like a victim, you'll find evidence to support that thinking. If you think like a victor, you'll find evidence to support that too. This is why it's crucial to guard your mind. Be selective about what you watch, what you read, what you listen to. Every input is either reinforcing your position of victory or undermining it. Every conversation is either building you up or tearing you down. Every relationship is either pushing you toward your victory or pulling you back into defeat. And as we move forward, we're going to explore exactly how to maintain this position of victory even when. So now that we understand the power of mental positioning, let's dive deeper into what it truly means to live from victory rather than toward it. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where theory becomes practice, where mindset becomes lifestyle. Consider this. How many times have you said to yourself, when I achieve this, then I'll be victorious. When I get that promotion, then I'll feel successful. When I lose the weight, then I'll be confident. When I get married, then I'll be complete. But I'm here to tell you, that's backward thinking. Let me share something that transformed my understanding. In ancient times, when kings would go to battle, they would position their most skilled warriors at the front of the army. These weren't just any soldiers. These were the champions who fought from a position of already knowing the outcome. They weren't fighting to win. They were fighting because they had already won in their minds. You see, there's a fundamental difference between fighting toward victory and fighting from victory. When you're fighting toward victory, every setback feels like failure. Every obstacle feels like defeat. But when you're fighting from victory, setbacks become set up for comebacks. Obstacles become opportunities to demonstrate your championship position. I witnessed this principle in action through Sarah, a single mother of three who came to one of my workshops. She was drowning in debt, working two jobs, barely keeping her head above water. But something shifted when she understood this principle. She stopped seeing herself as someone trying to escape poverty and started seeing herself as someone managing her wealth responsibly. What happened next was remarkable. She didn't get a magical windfall of money. Instead, she began making different decisions. She started a small side business doing what she already knew, baking. But here's the key. She didn't approach it as a desperate attempt to make ends meet. She approached it as a CEO expanding her enterprise. Within 18 months, her baking business was making more than both her previous jobs combined. Why? Because she operated from victory, not toward it. She made decisions like a successful business owner before she had the evidence to support it. But living from victory requires more than just a mental shift. It demands a complete repositioning of your identity. You have to settle once and for all who you are. Are you a victor having a temporary challenge, or are you a victim hoping for a break? Think about Joseph in scripture. Even when he was in prison, he carried himself like a governor. Even when he was a slave, he operated with the authority of a ruler. He understood something profound. His circumstances didn't determine his position. His position determined how he handled his circumstances. This is where many of you are missing it. You're waiting for your circumstances to change before you change your conduct. You're waiting for your situation to improve before you improve your standards. You're waiting for victory to come to you instead of operating from the victory that's already yours. Let me make this practical. Starting today, I want you to begin living from victory in these three areas: your decisions and your deportment. First, your decisions. People who live from victory make decisions based on their destination, not their current location. They don't make choices from a place of lack, fear, or desperation. They make choises from a place of abundance. When I was at my lowest point financially, I made a decision that seemed crazy to everyone around me. I invested in high-level business coaching when I could barely afford groceries. Why? Because that's what successful business owners do. They invest in their growth. I wasn't making that decision from my bank account. I was making it from my position of victory. Second, your declarations. Victory has a language. It has a vocabulary. When you're living from victory, your words align with your position, not your condition. Instead of saying, I'm trying to get out of debt, you declare, I am a good steward of abundance. Instead of saying, I hope this works out, you declare, I walk in divine favor and success. This isn't about denial. It's about dominion. It's about understanding that your words are creating the reality you'll walk in tomorrow. The Bible says life and death are in the power of the tongue. When you're living from victory, your tongue becomes a tool of transformation, not just communication. Third, your deportment. Yeah, you carry yourself. People who live from victory have a different bearing about them. They walk differently. They dress differently. They interact differently, not because they're trying to impress anyone, but because they're expressing their true identity. I remember counseling a woman who was believing for healing. She came to me in her pajamas, shoulders slumped, voice. I told her, from now on, I want you to dress every day like you're completely healed. I want you to walk like someone who's whole. I want you to speak like someone who's strong. She thought I was being insensitive to her condition. But 3 months later, she testified that the simple act of carrying herself like a healed person began to affect her body's response to treatment. Her doctors were amazed at her recovery rate. But here's where many people get tripped up. Living from victory doesn't mean you won't face battles. In fact, your battles might intensify because you're now a threat to the enemy's agenda. But the difference is in how you engage with those battles. When you're living from victory, you don't fight for victory. You fight from victory. Every challenge becomes an opportunity to demonstrate what you already know to be true. Every obstacle becomes a chance to showcase your championship. Think about it like faces a challenge. It doesn't stop being a lion. It doesn't need a pep talk about its lioness. It doesn't need to attend lion confidence workshops. It operates from its position as king of the jungle, regardless of what it faces. That's how you need to start living. Your victory isn't something to be achieved. It's something to be expressed. It's not a destination to reach. It's a position to operate from. This means when you face that difficult meeting, you walk in as someone who already has favor. When you confront that health challenge, you face it as someone who is already whole. When you tackle that financial situation, you handle it as someone who is already prosperous. But living from victory also requires a new level of responsibility. When you understand that you're already victorious, you stop making excuses. You stop blaming circumstances. You stop waiting for perfect conditions. Instead, you start taking authority over your life. This is what I call divine positioning. It's about aligning yourself with heaven's perspective of your life. Heaven doesn't see you as trying to become victorious. Heaven sees you as already victorious. Heaven doesn't see you as working towards success. Heaven sees you as already successful. So let me challenge you right now. What areas of your life have you been approaching from a position of struggle rather than victory? Where have you been fighting toward victory instead of fighting from victory? What decisions would change if you truly believed you were already victorious? Because here's the truth. The distance between where you are and where you want to be isn't nearly as important as the position from which you're operating. When you live from victory, that distance becomes less about struggle and more about strategy. When opposition comes, and it will come, what's your first response? Do you immediately shift into survival mode, or do you stand firm in your position of victory? This is where the rubber truly meets the road, where your victory mindset faces its greatest test. You see, operating from victory doesn't mean opposition disappears. It means you've changed your relationship with opposition. Every challenge that comes your way is no longer a threat to your victory. It's an opportunity to demonstrate it. Let me share something powerful that happened in my own life. 3 years ago, I faced a lawsuit that threatened everything I built. My competitors were trying to force me out of the market. Most people would have panicked. Some would have compromised. Others would have given up. But because I was operating from victory, I saw something different. I saw an opportunity to showcase excellence. Instead of fighting the lawsuit defensively, we used it as a platform to demonstrate our superior business practices. We didn't just win the case. We emerged with a stronger market position and three new major clients who witnessed our integrity during the process. That's what happens when you navigate opposition from a position of victory rather than fear. Think about David facing Goliath. Notice something fascinating. David didn't put on Saul's armor. Why? Because champions don't fight with borrowed weapons. When you're operating from victory, you don't need to imitate someone else's strategy. You fight with what God has already equipped you with. But here's where many people miss it. Opposition often comes disguised as distraction. The enemy knows he can't defeat you directly. So he'll try to get you to defeat yourself by focusing on the wrong things. He'll try to get you to fight battles that aren't yours to fight. I was mentoring a young entrepreneur named Michael, who was launching his tech startup. Every day he was getting bombarded with negative comments on social media, critical emails, and competitive threats. He was spending all his energy defending himself, explaining himself, proving himself. I told him champions don't have time to defend their position because they're too busy advancing their position. Once he understood this, he stopped engaging with every critic and focus solely on delivering exceptional value to his clients. Within 6 months, his company's growth made all those negative voices irrelevant. That's what happens when you navigate opposition with a victory mindset. You don't get distracted by what's coming against you because you're too focused on what you're moving toward. But let's talk about something that many motivational speakers won't tell you. Sometimes operating from victory means making hard choices that don't feel victorious in the moment. Sometimes it means walking away from situations that no longer align with your champion status, even when walking away feels like losing. I remember counseling a successful businesswoman who was in a toxic partnership. She was afraid that ending the partnership would mean losing half her client base. But I helped her see that operating from victory sometimes means choosing your peace over your profit. She made the hard choice to dissolve the partnership. Yes, she lost some clients initially, but within a year, she had doubled her business because she was now operating from a place of peace and alignment. Here's what you need to understand about navigating opposition. Not every battle that presents itself deserves your engagement. Champions are selective about their battles because they understand that their victory isn't determined by how many fights they win, but by how well they maintain their position. Think about a lighthouse. When storms come, it doesn't run around trying to fight the waves. It doesn't argue with the wind. It doesn't defend itself against the rain. It simply stands firm, doing what it was built to do, shine. That's how you navigate opposition from a position of victory. But there's another aspect of navigating opposition that we need to address. The internal opposition. Sometimes your biggest battles aren't with external circumstances, but with internal doubts. The voice in your head that says, maybe they're right. Maybe you're not good enough. Maybe you should give up. This is where your victory mindset faces its greatest test. Because it's one thing to stand strong when others doubt you. It's another thing entirely to stand strong when you're doubting yourself. But champions understand that self-doubt is just evidence that you're pushing beyond your comfort zone. And those moments of internal opposition come, you need to remind yourself of who you are and whose you are. You need to recall past victories, not to live in, but to draw strength from them. Every previous victory is evidence of your capacity for future victories. And here's something crucial about navigating opposition. You need to understand the difference between an obstacle and an opportunity. Often what looks like opposition is actually positioning. What looks like a setback is actually a setup for a comeback. Remember, this opposition doesn't determine your position. Your position determines how you handle opposition. When you're operating from victory, every obstacle becomes an opportunity to demonstrate your championship status. Every challenge becomes a chance to showcase your excellence. Now that we understand how to navigate opposition from our victory position, let's talk about something even more powerful, how to seal that victory and create a legacy that outlasts you. What good is winning today if we can't sustain it for generations to come? Have you ever noticed how some people can achieve victory but can't maintain it? They win the battle but lose the water. They reach the mountaintop but can't build a foundation there. That's because there's a profound difference between achieving victory and sealing victory. Think about it like this. In ancient times, when kings would conquer new territory, they didn't just plant their flag and leave. They established systems, built infrastructure, and installed governors. They understood that claiming victory was only the beginning. Sealing victory required strategic implementation. I witnessed this principle in action through Marcus, a client who built a multi-million dollar business from scratch. But what made his story remarkable wasn't just his success. It was how he sealed that success through systematic replication. He didn't just build a business. He built a legacy. Marcus understood something crucial. Legacy isn't about what you accomplish. It's about what you establish. It's not about the height you reach. It's about the foundation you lay. He spent as much time developing his succession plan as he did developing his success plan. This is where many victory-minded people miss it. They're so focused on winning that they forget about sustaining. They're so consumed with reaching the top that they don't build elevators for others to follow. But true champions understand that their victory isn't complete until it's transferable. Let me share three principles of sealing victory that I've learned over decades of mentoring leaders. First, documentation beats conversation. Your victories need to be recorded, not just remembered. Your processes need to be systematic, not just successful. I remember working with a gifted speaker who could captivate audiences effortlessly, but his impact was limited to his presence. When I challenged him to document his methods, create training materials, and develop a system for teaching others, his influence multiplied exponentially. Now, hundreds of speakers are implementing his principles, even when he's not in the room. Second, multiplication beats addition. When you're operating from victory, you're not just looking to add to your success. You're looking to multiply it through others. This means investing in people who can carry your vision forward, even when you're no longer at the helm. Sarah, another client of mine, understood this principle deeply. She had a successful consulting practice, but instead of just hiring more consultants, she developed a training program that equipped others to start their own consulting businesses. She moved from being a successful consultant to being a kingdom-minded multiplier. Third, and perhaps most importantly, character beats charisma. You can win with charisma, but you can only seal victory with character. Your integrity, your consistency, your commitment to excellence. These are the things that turn temporary victories into lasting legacies. I've seen too many talented individuals lose everything because they focused on the spotlight instead of their foundation. They were more concerned with looking successful than being sustainable. But when you're operating from victory, you understand that you're capable. This brings us to a crucial aspect of sealing victory, the power of covenant thinking. Covenant is stronger than contract because it's based on relationship, not just agreement. When you operate in covenant, you're not just thinking about your success. You're thinking about the success of generations to come. Think about Abraham in scripture. God didn't just promise him success. He promised him generational impact. Through your offspring, all nations will be blessed. That's covenant thinking. That's legacy mindset. That's what it means to seal victory. But here's where many people get uncomfortable. Sealing victory often requires sacrifice. It might mean slower growth so you can build stronger foundations. It might mean less profit today so you can invest in tomorrow's leaders. It might mean fewer accolades now so you can establish lasting impact. I remember counseling a successful business owner who was frustrated because his company's growth had plateaued. When we examined his operation, I discovered he was doing everything himself. He was the business. I told him, if you want to seal your victory, you have to be willing to become unnecessary. That meant investing time and resources in developing leaders who could run the business without him. It was a difficult transition. His profits actually decreased for 2 quarters while he invested in training and systems. But by the end of the year, his company had broken through the plateau and was growing sustainably. More importantly, he had a team of leaders who could carry his vision forward. This brings us to another crucial aspect of sealing victory, the power of strategic redundancy. In engineering, critical systems always have backups. Your victory needs the same kind of reinforcement. This means having multiple streams of influence, multiple layers of leadership, multiple ways to achieve your objectives. But perhaps the most overlooked aspect of sealing victory is the power of strategic rest. Champions understand that rest isn't the opposite of work. It's the foundation of sustainable success. When you're operating from victory, you can rest because you know your position is secure. This isn't about taking vacations, although those are important. This is about building rest into your systems, your processes, your leadership development. It's about creating an operation that doesn't depend on your constant involvement to succeed. As we wrap up this series on living from victory, let me challenge you with this thought. What would change in your life if you started thinking about sealing victory instead of just achieving it? How would your decisions be different if you were thinking about impact 7 generations from now? Because here's the truth. Your victory isn't just about you. It's about everyone who will be influenced by your legacy. It's about the lives that will be transformed because you chose to think bigger than your own success. Remember, champions don't just win. They create winners. They don't just achieve. They establish. They don't just succeed. They seal their success with systems and structures that outlast them. Your position of victory isn't just for today. It's for generations to come. So build accordingly, lead accordingly, live accordingly, because true victory isn't just about reaching the mountaintop. It's about building a city there that others can inhabit. Go forth and seal your victory. Go forth and establish your legacy. Go forth and create something that will echo through eternity. Because when you're truly living from victory, your impact doesn't end with you. It only begins.
Get your daily dose of inspiration, motivation, and encouragement on our Facebook page. Join the Radio Pulpit Facebook community today.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
When the drive gets long, we are there. Listen live to Radio Pulpit on radiopulpit.co.za, DSTV 882, and OpenView 607. Also, follow us on our social media, download our app, and listen to our podcasts wherever you are. Radio Pulpit, still your daily companion.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.